Yeah, 110.
Number 10.
Yeah.
Go ahead, start.
It tells me of a Savior's love, who died to set me free. It tells me of His precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus! Oh, how I love Jesus! Oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me.
Elder Danny Park.
Certainly thankful that the Lord has been good to us.
Amen.
You know, His goodness is indescribable, really. God's good to all. There is a common goodness that God has upon all human beings.
It's true.
And we see it. But there is a special goodness that He has to His people.
Amen.
The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He's our stronghold that we can flee to in the day of trouble. And there's a lot of days of trouble here in this world, because we live in a fallen world and we are fallen creatures. We are sinners. And there's all kinds of tribulations in this life. And we know that's coming. We know that tribulation is a surety here in this world. Jesus says, "But in me you shall find peace. I'm your peace." So it's in Jesus Christ that we have peace. In the world we have tribulation. But in Jesus Christ we have peace. There is a peace. There is a perfect peace that we have within our heart by trusting in the Lord.
Amen.
He's never given us a reason not to trust Him, has He?
No.
Isn't He strong? Isn't He faithful? Isn't He a present help in time of need? Well, sure He is. One of the greatest things to me that I can't figure out is the omnipresence of God. That God's everywhere. But I know that's true. I do know that. But that is true. God is everywhere. But I like to feel His presence. I like my heart to be warmed and melted. Warm my heart, Lord. And when I think about the Lord, when I think about Jesus, my heart is melted. I try to thank Jesus every day, personally. I say, "Jesus, thank Thee for loving me and dying for me upon the cross and removing all my sins and putting them away forever." I love the gift of God. But I love the giver. He has given us
Amen.
His gift. The gift of eternal life. The gift of seeing God one day. Just think about seeing God. You can't see Him now. No man can look upon the face of God and live. No man. You think about when Moses met the Lord on Mount Sinai. It says that they're face to face. And they spoke as friends. But he didn't see the naked glory of God. But in some sense, he did see God. Didn't he? That's what it says. He really wanted to see the face of God, but God wouldn't allow that because he said, "No man can look on my face and live." So it is that he says, this is what I'll do for you, Moses. You'll stand on this rock, and I'll pass by. But I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock. A lot of good pictures there. In the cleft of the rock, place of safety and shelter, in the cleft of the rock. And when I pass by, I'll put my hand over that cleft. And when I pass by, I'll lift my hand up and you'll see my back parts. Well, we see through a glass darkly. But then, face to face. Oh, when you see God. Face to face. See Jesus in His glorious excellency, you know. That's what I'm looking forward to. That's what keeps me going. And the wonderful truth that God has given us. You know, this life is filled with concerns. We can't go through life and not be concerned about anything. But we can't be overly concerned about everything. Amen. You see, there's a balance, isn't it? That we have in the promises of God. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippian brethren, and he said, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Be careful for nothing. I think what he is saying there, don't be overly concerned or worried.
Right.
You know, we have a tendency to worry, don't we? Human beings. I had one sister, bless her heart. She was a wonderful sister in the church. But she is a worrier. She was a worrywart. And I said, you worry because you're not worrying, you know? I mean, you need to put your confidence in the Lord. She said, well, I do. She said, but then I worry. But we should not be overly taken in worry or fear, you know. Fear will paralyze us. But I'll tell you how to rid yourself of fear, and that's exercise your faith.
Amen.
Fear knocked at the door, and faith answered, and fear was gone. Faith in God. Trust in God, because He is faithful to us. All right. I went through all that to get to this. I need your prayers. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to start. Now, at home, my people say, well, he didn't tell the truth. He didn't know when to quit, you know. But I really, sometimes I don't know where to start in preaching. But I've a lot of things have run through my mind this morning. But I want to start in the 9th chapter of the book of Romans. Beginning with verse 6. Not as though the word of God hath taken not effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by her father Isaac, For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. As it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. There has been a debate all through Christendom for many, many years of the freedom of God in His will and the freedom of man in His will. Well, God is the only one that has absolute free will.
Right. Absolute.
Absolute free will.
Right.
That is, God does what He will, when He will, upon whom He will, without asking man if he can.
Right. Amen.
But man has a will. Now we must admit that man has some freedom of will. He just doesn't have a freedom of will in his human depravity to come to God. But we all have a free will to an extent that we choose many things. I mean, we're not robots. God doesn't move us or, you know, program us.
Right.
Or we're not like checkers on a checkerboard that men are moving. We do not believe that. So, God is the only one that has the absolute freedom of will. Now, can man thwart or impede God's absolute freedom of will? Well, absolutely not.
That's right.
I mean, God would be controlled by us,
right? Yeah.
Now, here, the Apostle Paul is laying out, this doctrine of the freedom of God's will. And it's not dependent upon man's will. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord?
Right.
Or been His counselor or taught Him? Who's taught God? Who's come to God and said, now God, this is what you need to do. Now God, you need to listen to me, because I'm real smart. And the Apostle Paul is saying here, and you got to read previous verses to get the context of this, not as though the Word of God hath taken non-effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. That is, the Word of God, because of Israel, and God gave unto them the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, and the service of the promises, the service of God, whom concerning the flesh Christ came. That is, that was God's design, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Why did He create this nation? Why did He call Abram from the Ur of the Chaldees? Was it Abram that moved God to do this, or was it God's will to do it? Well, he's down here worshiping idols. It wasn't His will. Now, who moved first?
Amen.
It was God that moved.
Amen.
God took the initiative. And so it is that He called Abraham. Now, this is amazing to me, that He came to Abraham and He told him to get up and get out from among his kindred. And, of course, this was God speaking to him, and You know what he did? He didn't say, "Now, God, I need a map to know where I'm going." Usually we know where we're going. Or we have a map, or now we got GPS. And sometimes you can't trust that. I tell you, my wife and I, several years ago, were in Georgia, and we were leaving a meeting, and we had this GPS. I said, "Hun, we need a GPS to get out of here." Well, we had that GPS, and I'm telling you, it took us down a dirt road and across, and here's this creek running. And I said, "I don't know if we can get across here or not." She said, "This GPS led us this way. We should be able." I said, "Yeah, that's the GPS, but I don't know if we can get across this creek." But we did get across. And finally got out on the main road. But you know, God says, "I'll show you the land. I'm gonna direct you." Now, I trust that, don't you? He said, "I'm gonna show you." So Abraham didn't know where he was going, but God said, "I'm going to show you." And God made a nation. Well, he had a right to do it, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Of all the nations of the earth, there was no nation like Israel. But this nation, what did they do? They turned their backs on God, upon their God. But in the nation of Israel, there was always a spiritual seed, a spiritual people in the nation of Israel. They were a chosen nation, right? But they were not all chosen in Jesus Christ. And that's what he's saying here. They are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Somebody says, "That's not fair." Well, God's always fair and just. They're not all Israel, which are of Israel. Now, there's got to be two Israels here. They're not all Israel, which are of Israel. There is a spiritual Israel in the midst of the nation of Israel. And God wasn't dependent upon them to believe in order for Him to carry out His promise. Now, even in the nation of Israel, there were 12 tribes. Well, he chose the tribe of Judah, didn't he? Was he dependent upon Judah in order to carry out his promise? Well, if he was dependent upon Judah to carry out his promise, it would have sunk.
Amen.
His promise would have sunk. But no, he wasn't dependent upon Judah and him believing. He wasn't dependent upon anybody. It was the will of God. He had a short-term design. He had a long-term design in sending His Son through the tribe of Judah as Jesus would come in the flesh. And what tribe was He of? He was of the tribe of Judah. Was it by them believing that God fulfilled this? Now, I'm not promoting unbelief, but I'm telling you it was not by their believing.
Right.
What if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? That is, by their unbelief, is the faithfulness of God going to be thwarted or impeded? Absolutely not. That's God's freedom of will without the will of man. So he says here, the Word of God is not of non effect. That is, it's going to be fulfilled. And then I'm going to get on down here. I got to cut the fat to get to the meat here. That is, they which are the children of God, these are not the children of the flesh. These are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. And then he goes into this promise. And then he comes down to individuals. Now, people, Christendom will argue with you that God didn't choose individuals. He chose, it's a corporate choice, you know. Well, he comes down to individuals here.
Yes, he does.
For the children being not yet born. Now, they hadn't been born. Neither having done any good or evil. Now, they hadn't done any good or evil. That the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of Him that calleth. Now, there's two boys.
Right.
Jacob and Esau. They're twins.
Right.
And God loves Jacob and hated Esau. Now, this is a moral hatred. This is not an emotional hatred. This is a moral love of God. Did God really love Jacob? Or is this true? Did He really love Jacob?
Sure He did.
Did He hate Esau?
Yes, He did.
Did He reject Esau? Did He pass him by? Yes, He did. Now, God could have passed all human beings by. The amazing thing about this statement is that God loved Jacob. That's the amazing statement here, that God loved Jacob. Because Jacob was just as much a sinner as Esau. He was just as corrupt as Esau. Therefore, it was not by Jacob's will, was it, that God loved him? Did God see anything in Jacob that would cause God to love him? There was nothing in Jacob. He knew Jacob. Sure He did. But He loved him in spite of knowing him. He loved him so much that He called him. And therefore, He called Jacob. Now, I don't know everything, but I like that time when he was in the wilderness, you know, fleeing. He wasn't looking for God out there, was he? But God knew where he was.
Absolutely.
And God came to him. And this ladder came down from heaven. And God stood above it. And it come down to the earth. In a dream, he dreamed. Now, God can come to a man any time, any way He so pleases. He came to him in a dream. And He showed him some things, amazing things. So, He taught Jacob, didn't He? He came to him. He saved Jacob by His grace.
Yeah.
It wasn't Jacob's will. He said, God is in this place. This is a fearful place. I wasn't looking for God out here. But God came to him. Who came first?
Right.
God came to him. Who came to you first?
Right.
God came to you first.
Amen.
And when God came to you, He meant to come to you. You know, when God calls a man effectually, He didn't just call at him. He calls him.
Yeah.
And when He calls him, He does something in the heart, doesn't He?
Amen.
Well, He changes the man. He didn't ask the man, do you want me to change you?
No.
Or will you be willing for me to change you? Oh, no. Jesus said, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. The voice of the Son of God. This is not the voice of the preacher. The preacher can't reach the stony, dead heart, can he?
No.
The preacher can't reach those that are alienated from God. But I'm telling you, just Jesus does.
Amen.
He reached all of us.
Yeah.
He reaches all of His people. It doesn't matter where they are, what color they are, what tongue they speak. It doesn't matter. I'll tell you, men may keep the gospel out of nations, but they can't keep God out of the heart.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, Baptists are the only ones that believe that.
Amen.
I mean, that's really right. I know that. I do know that. He loved Jacob. Hated Esau. Jacob represents the elect, doesn't he? But he personally loved Jacob.
Yes.
He personally loves you.
Yes.
Sometime election is preached like God just took a scoop shovel and scooped a bunch of corn out, you know, of the human family. I don't believe it's that way. I believe it was personal. Did God look and see me? Did He see me? Well, how could He see me out of the billions of the human race? Because God is omniscient and He also has all knowledge, but He foreknew His people. That's special, isn't it?
Sure.
Whom He did foreknow. Now, we know God in His omniscience knows all things, but this is special, isn't it?
Is. Absolutely.
This is particular. Whom He did. I get tired of hearing men, God chose the plan. He chose the plan. What about He chose the man? I got something better than that. He chose the man, put him in the plan, and executed the plan for the man. That's what He did. He chose the man. He chose individuals, and He put them in Jesus Christ. He chose them in Jesus Christ. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1, we find that wonderful doctrine that is laid out. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Not when man believed, not when man got right, because he would have never believed, he'd have never been right, except God make him right.
Amen.
In Jesus Christ. According as He hath chosen us in Him. God did this. This is an act of God.
Right.
Election is an act of God. God's love is an act of God. Predestination is an act of God. I'm going to get to that. What did He elect us? Why did He elect us? Because He loved us.
Amen.
What did He elect us? What did He elect us to? Chosen us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame. That's what He elected us to be. Not because we were, but He elected us to be holy and without blame. Now, who makes us holy and without blame? Jesus Christ. He makes us holy and without blame. Somebody says, now God chose the plan and now you have to choose what God chose in order for you to get in the plan. But God chose the man. He chose the man. And He did have a design, but He executed it. Didn't He?
Yes, He did.
Did anybody hinder Him? Did anybody stop Him? No. Nobody hindered Him. Nobody stopped Him. Look, I wish I could preach this like it should be. But anyway, He chose. And then He predestinated us.
He predestined.
He chose us in Christ, and then He predestinated us to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Now, is there not a choice in adoption? Does the adoptee choose the adopter? No. The adopter chooses the adoptee. He predestinated us unto the adoption of children, to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Now, that's glorious to me.
Amen.
Predestination is not that God is minutely controlling every little move and things, and, you know, that's not it. No, it's people He predestinated.
Amen.
Not things. Now, I know God has control. Look, I hadn't been trying to preach 48 years and don't know that.
Right. Right.
I mean, I know God's sovereign. He's over all things. But God's not, He's not moving man to sin. He has never put into any man to sin. He's never done that. Man's going, He didn't have to. Man does it anyway. I mean, that's His tendency. He's...
Amen.
We're all that way, aren't we? Hath not God I didn't read this part. Hath not the potter power over the clay? Clay. That's what we all are. That's what humanity was, clay. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump? Same lump, right? Same lump. All right. He took part out of that lump and he made vessels of mercy. Have you ever seen a potter make a pot? I have. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? Now, did the pot make itself? Did that clay jump out of that lump and say, I want to be a pretty pot? No, the potter. It's all in the potter's will, isn't it? All in his handiwork. Takes the lump out of that same lump, leaves some of that. That's what he did to those that he didn't choose and love. He just left them.
Right.
He left them. But he takes it and, you know, that potter puts that clay, that's all it is, no form, puts it on that wheel and it goes around and around it. That potter shapes that according to the potter's will. That's what God did for us. He made us vessels of mercy. Vessels of mercy. A fore prepared unto glory.
Amen.
If you believe the Bible, you have to believe that He afore prepared us to glory.
Amen.
He prepared glory for somebody, didn't He?
Yes, He did.
And He prepared vessels to fit that glory.
Yes, He did.
Somebody says, I don't rejoice in God sentencing men to damnation. I don't really rejoice. But I tell you, I rejoice that He saved from the wrath to come.
Amen.
He saved me from the wrath. I deserve it. I know. I tell you what. God would have been just. The judge would have been just. God does send men to torment. But. It's according to their sins and their wickedness. Let me ask you this question. When a criminal comes into the court and he comes before the judge, is it the judge's fault that he's a criminal? No, I know. But does the judge render the sentence according to the crime? Sure he does. Is he active in that? Sure he is. He is active in it, isn't he?
Yes.
He renders the sentence according to the crime. It's not his fault. It's not God's fault.
No.
But aren't it wonderful? We see God. What are we going to be in heaven? We'll be like Jesus. I do know that. We'll be conformed to His image. And I think about Brother Stan asked me a real deep question last night after service. I've thought about this. I've looked in it. I've searched. What shall we be? Us mortals here. What shall we be? Well, I know we're going to be conformed to the image of Christ. I know that. But will I know who I am in heaven? Or will I just be wondering with amnesia up there who I am? Huh? You think you'll have amnesia up in heaven? Don't know who you are? I believe I'll know who I am. I believe I'll know personally who. Somebody says, will we know anybody else? Well, I believe we'll have plenty of time to get acquainted. Let's put it that way. But let me ask you this question. I mean, there's a lot of... I'm laying this out here. You know. Did I did on the Mount of Transfiguration. Oh, hey, look at this. Here's Moses and Elijah. Elijah in heaven caught up in a whirlwind and carried a fire, body, soul, and spirit. Moses.
Sure.
I don't know if he's there in body, but he's there in spirit and soul, which is conscious. But they're on the Mount of Transfiguration. And Jesus is transfigured into excellent glory. And they see and they see Jesus. And they see Moses and Elijah. And how did they know who they were? They didn't have no photograph of them. They knew them. And the amazing thing. Oh, this is amazing. I can't. But Peter, you know, he got some things right, things wrong. But wouldn't it be that, you know, you're on the Mount. Peter, James, and John, they're seeing this amazing event. And they see Jesus in His excellent glory. And Moses and Elijah. And they're talking. They're talking. What are they talking about? They're talking about His decease at Jerusalem, which He shall accomplish. That word accomplish, hold on to that. Because He did accomplish. He didn't just make salvation a possibility. He made it a reality. That's when He saved His people. Legally, judicially, when He died upon the cross, He saved His people. Then and there. I know we're going to be regenerated. All of His people are called, regenerated. Old Testament, New Testament, all ages. I know that. But He saved us before Almighty God when He accomplished eternal redemption upon the cross.
Amen.
He accomplished it. He didn't just make it possible. He didn't just make it where man could finish it up. He accomplished it. It's a done deal. That's what it is.
Finished.
But to see God, to see Him in our glorified bodies, and it's amazing.
Thank you.
Blessed you.
Blessed you.
Well, never known.